I'd like to start today in the book of Exodus. Let's see. Exodus 20. And verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. I think this is the scripture we all have burned into our memory. It is the fifth commandment, one of the ten commandments God has given us. Last year, Karen and I were visiting our daughter in Kansas City and her family, and Karen asked the youngest granddaughter to do something, and she refused. And Dorothy heard that, and no small conversation took place there. She set that straight right away. The granddaughter had said, well, it says in the Bible I have to obey my father and mother. It doesn't say anything about my grandmother. So we got that straightened out. Well, the Ten Commandments are concise statements of principle that expand to have very broad applications, which is explained many places in the Bible. Christ had some good examples. I'll have to turn to Matthew 5. Starting in verse 21, Matthew 5, 21, Christ here is expounding and amplifying a few of the Ten Commandments. You've heard that it is said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And down in verse 27, you have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. And over in verse 33 is one more. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever more than these is from the evil one. So what about the fifth commandment, honoring parents? Now the basic principle here is really honoring authority of all types. Peter, 1 Peter 5:5 has something to say about that. First Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I might back up into 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, starting in verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer for it, You take it patiently. This is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. You might say this is as much a message of humility as it is about obeying and respecting authority, because the two are so totally intertwined. Some time ago, Mr. Mickelson made the comment that no division in the church has ever been caused by humility. Well, likewise, no lack of authority, no lack of respect for authority has ever been caused by humility, just the opposite. The fifth commandment ends with, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And I think the opposite is implied as well. Without respect for those over you, God won't allow you to remain in the land that he has given to you. That's a threat, I think, that we see unwinding before our very eyes in our nation and in, I think, the Western worlds. Today we are in an age of rebellion, and people are taking it as normal. It's become the normal thing, but it can't become the normal thing for us. Disrespect for authority is a growing disease in our society today. I think one that's increasing and ramping up rapidly, especially during the last government administration and now since the last election. It's really become an epidemic. It's a spiritual disease. The growing lack of respect for authority of all kinds, government officials, courts, police, military, teachers, and of course, in the home. I think permissiveness and lack of discipline in schools teaches our young people now a lack of respect for authority. Police officers are called pigs. Some officers have been shot on the streets and even shot by snipers. So we've seen the disrespect being toward our current president, I think, is beyond anything I've seen before. Few people agree with all the things that he's done. I think that's probably an understatement, but he's a leader of the country, and that demands respect. I think it's hard to believe some of the things that we've seen. There was on CNN the facsimile of a decapitated head of the president. I saw the picture on the internet, and it's really hard to believe something like that would be on television. Then there was a play in New York depicting the assassination of the president, and clearly depicting it as President Trump. You know, authority is allocated by God, and God doesn't stand for authority being disrespected. I'd like to turn to a couple of examples back in Numbers. Numbers 12. Here's where Aaron and Miriam showed disrespect toward Moses. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Another example is over in Numbers 16. Here's the rebellion of Korah. Numbers 16, starting in verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dothan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelek, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representing the congregations of men of renown. They gathered together at Moses and Aaron, against Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, even every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the congregation of the Lord?" Well, clear rebellion there. Might just turn over to verse 33 to see the end of it. In verse 33, "And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men of Korah, with all their goods. And so they and all that were with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up over them." You know, God comes down especially hard on disrespect for authority. He hates rebellion and rebellious attitudes, and he hates them with very good reason. I'd like to turn to Isaiah, verse 14. Now, God created angels, and one of them lost respect for God's authority. This is about Lucifer, Isaiah 14. Starting in verse 12. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.'" So he had a throne already, but it wasn't good enough for him. "I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down to Sheol, the lowest parts of the pit." So Lucifer became Satan, and he convinced a third of the angels to follow him in that rebellion. Well, now God is creating spirit beings that are actually on a higher level than the angels. And that's a much more severe possible risk for God. So here you can see his hatred toward rebellion and the lack of respect. So human authority is really a test for us. So God is creating spirit beings with abilities of members of his very family. And human authority right now is a test. How are we going to match up and fulfill that, and what God really wants us to come to be? The lack of authority is everywhere around us. We have to recognize it, even though the world is just taking it for granted now. We have to recognize it and really do everything we can not to be caught up in it. So we are in a training ground. God is allowing us to observe rebellion firsthand in our society and to see the evil that comes from it. Tremendous evil. Hence Christ's statement that if we're to enter the kingdom of God, we're to become like little children. In that way, becoming completely humble and respectful. As we read in 1 Peter 5, being submissive to one another and clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If we are humble and submissive to one another, it's that much easier to be humble and submissive to all authority. So what's involved in being a person who respects authority? couple of years ago, I read a little saying in one of my sermonettes, watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Our destiny, hopefully, is the kingdom of God. So it could be the kingdom of God or not, depending upon how we live this life. So this saying really lays out some principles that we need to follow. Watch what you think. Harboring negative thoughts is where it begins. We tend to justify our feelings as human beings. That's really human nature. But instead of trying to justify our feelings, we need to examine our feelings or our thoughts. Are our thoughts and feelings really what God would like, what God would like us to have? Philippians 4, verse 8. We read this many times. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good or of good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things or think on these kinds of things. You know, thoughts lead to words, so we have to watch what we say. I'd like to turn to Titus 3. Titus 3, the first two verses there. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. If you harbor a thought of something evil about someone or something somebody has done, pretty soon you think of other misdeeds that person has done, and it builds and it begins to fester. And a bad attitude then toward that person will prevail and grow. So we have to really watch out for that. We have to watch what we say in private. This is where a wrong attitude can first slip out, what we say to a friend or someone in private. Eric Hoffer, in his book, The True Believer, said that when we have a complaint about something or someone, we always seek allies. We seek someone that can agree with us because it soothes our conscience. Again, that's our human nature. So condoning negative thoughts, trying to justify them, becomes a habit. When it becomes a habit, it becomes our character. When it becomes our character, there goes our destiny, and there goes our entrance into God's kingdom. Back to 1 Peter. First Peter 2, I think I read part of this, but starting in verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For it is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Well, the principle here is, what if a person in authority is not respectable, is harsh, is doing the wrong things? That doesn't provide a license to be disrespectful. You know, God doesn't condone that. In Romans 13, starting in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and that the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So God appoints authorities. He appoints authorities over us. Sometimes authorities that are not the best to try us, to try our attitude. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is God's He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must submit not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So authority is from God. Again, some that authority can test us really in two ways. Do we respect all authority? Do we respect authority that is not really godly? Now what if we're told to do something which really is against God, against God's commandments? Let's look at Luke 12. If we're told to do something by an authority over us and it contradicts something God has commanded, we just have to respectfully not obey, because God comes first. What God has commanded is what we have to follow. And God says, in that case, you have to bear the consequences, but not be afraid. 1 Peter 12, verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. I say you, fear him. So we need to fear God, because God has control of our eternal life. As we read in 1 Peter 2, for this is the will of God, that by doing good we put to shame the ignorance of foolish men. Back in Matthew 5, this time in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how then shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under foot of men. For you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may light, that it gives light to all who are within the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we are to be a light to this world system around us. We are to be a light by being humble, respectful of authority, and will stand out in a society which is very much not that way. Most of all, we are in a training program ordained by God in preparation for joining his very family. God told ancient Israel that he was putting before them good and evil, and he told them to choose the good, choose what's right. And he's doing the same for us today. The good we must choose is what God tells us: to be clothed with humility, to be submissive and respectful to all authorities, and also to one another.